Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On the line with us now, ESPN NFL analyst, a fantasy football expert from ESPN, contributor to SportsCenter, Fantasy Football Now, NFL Live. On the line with us is Mike Clay from ESPN. Mike, John Murphy, Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thanks for coming on with us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, happy to be here, guys. How's it going?
It's going well. What did you think of the schedule in general, the whole schedule for the NFL? What did you make of it? What takeaways do you have from it, Mike?
Well, I'll tell you what. We've known the opponents for a while, so not a ton changed, right? Like, we just know the order now. We already knew who had the easiest projected schedules, who had the toughest, that kind of thing. So all you kind of figure out from here now is, you know, kind of maybe how the schedules weighed for certain teams. And certainly the Bills are an excellent example of that, because if you look at their slate, it's fairly easy. You know, easy and hard is a relative term when you're talking about the NFL. But relatively speaking, before their Week 11 bye, it's pretty light. After that, it's certainly, if you look at the defenses they're going to face, the Chargers, Niners, Steelers, Broncos, Patriots, from weeks 12 to 16, that's really tough. That's as tough as it gets. So those are the kind of things you can kind of sort through. But, again, we kind of already knew the opponent, so it's kind of easy to sort through that before last night.
Does this schedule give us any reason to promote some teams to maybe a little bit more favorable opinion of how their season's going to go and demote others, like saying, wow, this team may not be as good as we thought because of their schedule and the way it falls? Is we kind of, like you said, we knew the opponents going in, but is there anything about this schedule and the way it falls for some teams that will really hurt some and maybe really help others?
I don't think there's anything too drastic, right? For me, at least personally, and maybe some others disagree with this, but for me personally, it's all about the opposition, how good the teams are going to be. And I don't care, guys, about last year's record, right? That's just a terrible way to kind of sort through strength of schedule, but focus on how good teams are right now, right? Don't treat the Bucks like a 7-9 team. We know they're probably better than that now. Don't treat the Patriots like a 12-4 team. Obviously, they don't have Tom Brady anymore, so those kind of things are important. But the opponents obviously are a variable we have to consider, and a way you can kind of apply that is a team like the Colts, right? I have them with the easiest projected schedule. So if you're looking through, hey, who do I pick? Do I pick the Texans or the Titans or the Colts to win the AFC South? Well, that light schedule for the Colts could push them over the top, not to mention the quarterback upgrade. They get DeForest Buckner. You know, you put all that together, and suddenly you feel a little bit better about a team like the Colts perhaps getting the 3 or 4 seed in the AFC. And then on the other hand, if you're looking through at a team like the Falcons, I have them at the hardest schedule next season. So maybe you knock them out of as a legit wild card contender in the NFC. So those are the kind of things I'm looking at.
Hey, Mike, let me dive into that a little bit deeper. Strength of schedule, you say not based on last year's record. It's a two-part question. What do you base it on, number one? And number two, you've got the Bills with the 8th easiest schedule. Can you talk about both those and tell us why?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as mentioned, most of the Bills, I'll take the second one first. Most of the Bills' early and mid-portion schedule is pretty light. And honestly, some of the teams they play down the stretch that I mentioned – you know, aren't standouts on both sides of the ball, right? Like the Chargers, pretty weak offensively, we think, this season. The Patriots very well could be the same, but all of those teams have dominant defenses. But earlier in the season, when you're playing two games against the Jets. They have two games against the Dolphins on the schedule. Obviously, those are two teams I expect to struggle again this season, even if they're a little bit better. And then, of course, the Patriots, we don't expect to be quite as good as in years past. So playing six of their 16 games against the division is a big reason why I like their slate. And then, I guess I kind of just foreshadowed a little bit how I figure that out, right? I'm just going to evaluate every roster. I publish something I call unit grades on social media and at ESPN, where I go position by position for all 32 teams, rank them, and then sort them by positional value, and then it tells me who I think the best teams are based on my evaluations and from first to 32nd, and that's how I kind of sort through then and apply the schedule and see how it shows up. So again, it's a tough science. It's hard. Some of these teams are going to have major injuries. It's going to knock them down. I'm going to be wrong on some teams, obviously. That's part of it. But usually it shows up pretty well by season's end, at least in the right vicinity. So it's something that it's a value.
And there are stretches for every team. And you look at the Buffalo Bills schedule, the five out of the last 6 weeks, you've got them with one of the hardest victories to obtain on this NFL schedule, the 11th hardest win, that kind of thing. After they come out of their bye week, the Chargers, you think may be an okay team, but they go to San Francisco, they face Pittsburgh, they go to Denver, then they face New England. That's a stretch of games that is really, for any team in the league other than those teams, that's going to be a really defining stretch, and it comes late in the year, which could make or break a Bills playoff run.
Absolutely agree. They're going to have to check off a bunch of wins early in the season. So I'm with you. In fact, I have their hardest and their second hardest games of the season in week 13 and 15, not to mention that's not even counting Pittsburgh at home. But at San Fran and at Denver, as you mentioned, is really tough, not to mention at New England. They may not be quite as good as in years past, but going into New England, a division rivalry, not easy. Although I do have their highest win probability, 75%, in week 17 against the Dolphins. So as long as they're hanging in there for the division lead or perhaps a wild card, depending on how it shakes out, that week 17 game could be quite helpful. But let's be honest, guys, they're probably the favorite. They're the favorite, in my estimation, to win that division. It's all going to come down to Mr. Josh Allen. How will he progress in his third season? You know, we've seen all-around playmaking ability. We've seen rushing ability. And at times we've seen okay passing, but overall the passing has not been good enough. He's going to have to take a leap forward this season to get them over the top.
Live with Mike Clay, ESPN NFL analyst. Mike, let's talk about unit grades. You've got the Buffalo Bills kind of in the middle of your pack overall, 18th in the league in your unit grades. And kind of like last year, kind of like the last couple of years, they're very strong on defense, top 10 defense, and not so strong on offense. The additions they made this offseason, a lot of them on offense, but you don't see much improvement there. Is that fair to say?
A little bit. I'm certainly higher on their offense than I was in years past. I mean, you had Stephon Diggs, a wide receiver. That's important to kind of fill out that trio there. I'm a huge Zach Moss fan. You know, I love identifying sleepers at the running back position. He was my guy this year. So I think they got a great find. Obviously, Devin Singletary was terrific as a rookie. So you have a good duo there. The offensive line is progressively getting better. I think it's more ordinary than a standout unit there. But again, if you kind of take quarterback out of the equation here across the entire league, because if you look at my unit grades, almost a quarter of the grade is just the quarterback, then the Bills are going to jump up closer to a top 10 roster all around. So, I still have questions about what Allen can do. And by the way, you have to keep one other thing in mind. This is really big. Injuries are a huge variable for teams, and you see it when teams kind of fall off or emerge late in the season. A lot of times it's because they're healthy or they're not. And the Bills have been one of the healthiest teams, if not the healthiest team in the league, over the past two seasons. And that's not really sustainable. I know they have a great system in place, and you know, maybe they can stand out in certain areas in terms of health, but sustaining the health they have over the past two seasons through another season is a long shot. So they have to show that they can overcome some injuries, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Right, I agree with you. Injuries are a great unknown, but by the same token, the Bills have done what they think they need to do to get over the hump. Last year, they just couldn't score enough points. And this year, with the addition of Stephon Diggs, as you mentioned, another guy that may help them be more consistent on the ground is Zach Moss. He may come in. And how do you think he's going to intermingle with Devin Singletary and the run game of the Bills? How do you think that dynamic is going to affect the overall performance of the offense?
I think it's going to help. Like I said, I love Moss. I mean, if you look last year, there's two key stats that are starting to gain in popularity – in running back evaluations. You're going to see more and more of them as time goes on because they're more predictive than others. And it's yards after contact per attempt and forced missed tackles, which is a stat you see primarily over at Pro Football Focus. But Moss was second in both categories last season in this class, and his numbers were almost the same in 2018 as well. So that's why I really think he is a legit star despite that week 40 time. And again, Singletary was very efficient last season. So I think you'll see Moss kind of slide into sort of what Frank Gore was doing. He'll handle the goal line work and a chunk of the carries, but he'll do more. I think he'll be more effective than Gore, whereas Singletary, they could scale back his workload a little bit. He was really playing a lot down the stretch. Let him be more of a change of pace, explosive back, and handle some passing down or a large chunk of the passing down duties as well. So that has an opportunity to be one of the best duos in the NFL at running back. I think it's probably an average group until we see it, but it really can be a great duo.
Mike Clay, our guest. Mike, I think it's worth mentioning that, as I said, 18th ranked unit grade for the Buffalo Bills, but they really have a considerable edge over the rest of the AFC East, don't they? You don't think the Patriots, the Jets, or the Dolphins are going to be that good? In fact, you think the Jets are taking a step back this year? Is that right?
The Jets are pretty close to where I had them last year, right? I have them at 27. Still a lot of weak spots there. Sam Darnold hasn't emerged yet. Coaching a concern there. We've seen a lot of players really exceed expectations away from the Adam Gase offense recently, and that's something we can't ignore. So maybe they'll get it turned around, and Gase can get Sam Darnold pointed in the right direction this season. They have some bright spots defensively, but definitely still think the Jets are a bottom-tier team. The Dolphins are better, but remember, on paper, they were really, really poor last season. It was a full-on rebuilding effort. It's going to take some time before they get to contender status. And then, of course, the Patriots, maybe the biggest question mark in the NFL at the quarterback position. They have a guy that has a handful of dropbacks in regular season games, so we have no idea. They also lost some of their key talent during the offseason, so I do think right now that's a bottom-tier team. And even if you factor in Bill Belichick and say, hey, he's the greatest coach ever, so we have to consider that, that's fine. But still, I think you get them to about an 8-8 record. It's hard to go much higher than that until we see what they have in Jared Stidham. So, yeah, I might seem lower than most on the Bills as kind of a mid-range team, but that's still the best in that division.
And on the Patriots, as you point out, I can't remember where I read this, but they can go with Jared Stidham, but we don't have much to go on, except you point out history is not kind to fourth-round draft picks quarterback in the past, right?
That's exactly right. I actually posted a graphic on Twitter a few weeks ago showing exactly that, right? I mean, it's not often that you're going to find, a Tom Brady who everybody's comparing the situation to, or even a Kirk Cousins. It's those day three quarterbacks or even day two quarterbacks guys are really, really rare. It's really rare that they turn into even solid, let alone very good NFL quarterbacks. So, it's hard not to trust Belichick based on the success he's had. I mean, if we're looking at this objectively, but it feels extremely risky, and there's probably a much better chance that he's a bust than he's going to be a competent NFL starter. But who knows? We're not in the room. We don't know what Belichick is seeing. Obviously, he has confidence.
So if these valuations for these division teams, like the Bills, like the AFC East overall, they're all down, these teams. The Bills seem to be the best of the group, but there's too many question marks across the board for you to rank them any higher. What about other divisions, like perhaps the AFC South? They've met, with the Colts kind of looking like they've taken a step forward. Are they going to overtake the Tennessee Titans after the Titans' great run this last offseason or this last playoff season?
I think so for two reasons. One is the schedule, which I just laid out. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL by my metrics, whereas the rest of the division is quite further down the chain. And look, the Titans, I think, got a little worse in the offseason. They lost some talent. The Texans, same kind of thing, giving away DeAndre Hopkins, which is still one of the more head-scratching trades in NFL history. And Jacksonville, same thing. They're in a rebuild. They're going the wrong way. So I think the Colts are the best team. They upgraded at quarterback. Say what you want about Phillip Rivers last season. I know he had some interception issues. He was still okay. He wasn't a disaster by any means. I still think there's something to be said for him having something in the tank. They have an elite offensive line. They bring in DeForest Buckner, who was arguably the best player on the NFC champion 49ers last season. That guy is a superstar, three-technique defensive tackle. There's just really a lot to like on the defensive side of the ball. Again, when you're anchored by that O-line, it's huge as well. So I'm a big fan of the Colts. I like what they're doing. They're my seventh-ranked team right now, so I have them taking the 3 seed in the AFC.
Live with Mike Clay, ESPN NFL analyst. One team that you have ranked, I think, higher in the Bills anyway, 13th, is the Denver Broncos. What do you think of the Broncos? What do you think of Drew Lock? Never been impressed with him through his limited play so far. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought he was okay late last season, but it's a small sample, so he can't get too excited. And definitely this is going to hinge in a big way on how good he is this season. You can see if you're looking at the grades that I actually give Denver a pretty low quarterback rating, and still they come in 13th in the unit grades primarily because of the defense, right? Vic Fangio left the Bears, took over as head coach of the Broncos, and immediately started the rebuild of that defense, and it looks good. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me at all if this was kind of like the 2018 Bears all over again, right, where they maybe don't get great quarterback play, maybe they even get below average quarterback play like the Bears did with Trubisky, but the defense, it peaks. You know, the defense just shows up and breaks out. And if you look at that unit, they acquired Jarrell Casey up front. You have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. You have Todd Davis and unheralded A.J. Johnson, who was an amazing find by them last year. They bring in A.J. Boye at corner with Bryce Callahan. They have Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson as safety. There's talent all over the place on that defense. So I think that's going to be one of the breakout units of the year, and that's why I think the Broncos have a decent chance to take a wild card in the AFC.
It's interesting about the Broncos. You're right. It's hard to keep track of defenders because, you know, so many of the headlines are garnered by the offensive guys. We forget those talented guys landing out west. I got to ask you as well about the Minnesota Vikings. That's a division in the NFC North, particularly since the head-scratching draft that the Green Bay Packers had. It looks like it's going to be Aaron Rodgers and a bunch of guys taking on the Vikings. How do you see the Vikings shaking out? Are they ready to win that division?
You know what? This is one of the hardest ones for me to figure out. I have the Packers, Vikings, and believe it or not, Lions all very close in terms of roster grades. I think Detroit was an underrated team last year, and they were showing it, right? They were a 500 team before Matthew Stafford went down for the season. Then they lost every remaining game. They had injuries at other positions as well. But, you know, I specifically remember them having the Chiefs beat. They were going to beat the Chiefs. They had that freaky 99-yard fumble return touchdown, or they would have won that game. So I think the Lions actually got a little better this offseason and are going to contend for that division. So can keep them in mind as a sleeper this year. Packers, yeah, I didn't like the draft at all. I think they had a chance with a couple hits to really take control of that division, and they didn't do that. So in my estimation, it is wide open. And by the way, just a note on the Vikings, still major question marks in the secondary at corner, right? They invested a lot of draft picks there, but it's a complete overhaul. So they might not be quite as dominant as they were in years past, especially with Everson Griffin and Linval Joseph gone as well. But nonetheless, still a pretty good defense. You still have Mike Zimmer. They're going to contend at least for that division.
Mike Clay, ESPN NFL analyst. Mike is also a fantasy football expert and does a lot of fantasy football analysis for ESPN, SportsCenter, and NFL Live. And late last night, Mike, you posted a story about which players, which teams would benefit most, which fantasy players and teams would benefit the most from the schedule announced yesterday. Can you give us kind of a capsule summary?
From a fantasy standpoint, the toughest defenses that'll be faced are by the Bears. I have that opposite. The easiest slate is for the Bears in terms of for fantasy. So if you're thinking about like Allen Robinson, David Montgomery, those kind of guys, they'll benefit the 49ers and Buccaneers. How about them with Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, that crew, pretty easy slate as well. And then on the other side, the Titans, Jets, and Raiders are the offenses that have the toughest schedule. So maybe you want to downgrade guys, maybe stay away from Derrick Henry. He's probably going to come back to earth a bit this season. So those are the ones that kind of jumped out. I did a kind of a full rundown. So without going too in depth, that's what I came across.
What else can we expect as a result of this schedule? Certainly it's got a little flexibility. What are your thoughts on maybe the teams that could benefit or not benefit from having maybe – and I don't know if you've gone back and looked at the front two or three games. We've said that week two, everybody's playing a team with the exact same bye week in case that game has to be moved back. And what happens if they lop off the first game of the schedule? Are there kind of ramifications that would help some teams and hurt others?
You're right. I haven't really dug too into week, you know, just the strength of weeks one through three. So that's a tough question to answer for sure. So I don't know. I don't know much else I can add on that. I mean, it's just going to – I don't know what they're going to do. Like you said, if they erase a couple of games early on, will they just add them on at the end and it won't matter? You know, it's really a tricky situation to kind of figure out right now. So the best answer I can give is just that I'm assuming the 16 games will be played for now, and that's how I'm kind of evaluating the teams.
That's how we're all working, Mike. We're all closing our eyes and hoping for the best, right?
That's exactly right.
Hey, Mike, thanks for this. Really appreciate
thanks, Mike.
It.
Mike.
Anytime, fellas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.